Good morning and very welcome to this presentation in connection to the Q2 report that we have published this morning. With me is our President and CEO, Ivar Vatne, along with our CFO, Andrei Krés. They will hold the presentation and afterwards take questions from the telephone conference. With that, we will get started. Please go ahead, Ivar.
Thank you, Lena, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for listening in this sunny Friday, at least here in Stockholm. It's a tale of two stories for a quarterly report, and I think it summarized quite well in the heading here on the slide. Another excellent quarter for Region North America, while we are navigating through more challenging conditions for Region Europe. Let's get into the details. Next slide, please. If we start from the top, we record flat net sales growth when adjusting for currency, growth in North America, and decline in Europe. Our Region North America continues to impress and record yet another excellent quarter. A 22% EBITDA margin is a level we are clearly happy with. In fact, the 22% is the highest profitability level we've had in North America since the end of 2022. The situation for Region Europe has been more challenging, and market conditions have gradually turned more and more unfavorable during the quarter. In essence, we are navigating in a market where we face weak demand and supply overcapacity. Now, despite this, and with our continued strong focus on working capital discipline, we have been able to produce an excellent cash generation, coming in with cash flow from operating activities of 75% versus a year ago. The progress on our evolution journey in the U.S. continues, and we've taken new important steps during the quarter. I want to share some more details on that part. Let's get into the next slide, please. Now, evolving our product portfolio in North America towards packaging material is one of the top priorities for the company. I'm both proud and excited to see the progress we're doing. We reached another important milestone during the quarter with 1,000 tons sold of our bleached liner Tribute and low-grammage cartonboard Voyager. Overall, we see strong interest amongst both new and existing customers to carry out trials for the new products. Overall, the feedback on the product quality and performance has been highly encouraging. It confirms again that local U.S. production within our industry is a good place to be, where we can offer quality, speed, reliability, and predictability. Also, in terms of the capital project to enable even further acceleration in our evolution journey, we are progressing as per plan. I'm looking forward to providing you with more updates on this exciting journey as we move along in 2025. Next slide, please. Over to some market comments. It is challenging to give a proper market read these days. Uncertainty, in particular in the wake of geopolitical decisions, seems to be the new normal and can change industry parameters literally overnight. There is no doubt that some of the ingoing optimism for demand recovery in Region Europe for 2025 is a memory far away. The trading conditions for most of our categories in Europe weakened during the quarter, and there are three main reasons for that. Number one, consumer demand is still muted and is yet to recover the growth rates we are expecting long-term for this industry and most of the categories we have exposure to. Number two, we are seeing the impact of more production capacity coming online in the region, first and foremost within board. Three, the tariff impact is real, and we see now evidence of how the trade flows have started to change. not only with volume historically being exported to into U.S., but now due to import tariffs, have lost some competitiveness and is partly relocated back into Europe. We also see some Asian volume struggling to find its way into U.S. and puts more pressure into markets in the Middle East. And overall, we do not expect the situation to improve going into Q3. Now, the notable exceptions where we operate under more normalized conditions are liquid packaging board here in Europe and our graphic and specialty paper in North America. For both these cases, we are expecting to continue their solid performance we've continuously seen over the past quarters. So with that, I'd like to hand it over to Andrei.
Thank you, Ivar, and good morning, everyone. Let's start by looking at our sales, which declined by 5%, and that was entirely driven by the FX headwind, meaning our currency-neutral sales were flat versus a year ago. Now, the strengthening of Swedish krona we've experienced first and foremost by the end of the first quarter is now fully impacting both our sales and also results. The positive pricing of 2% is mainly coming from our Europe region, while North America was quite flat versus a year ago. Volume-wise, the negative impact is entirely from region Europe, while North American region had a solid volume growth of 8%. Next slide, please. EBITDA margin in the second quarter was in line with the last year at 9%, and also here a tale of two stories. North America improving margin with 4 percentage points, while Europe seeing corresponding decline. And despite significant change in FX rates versus last year, the impact on our results was relatively limited due to our hedging program in place. The year-over-year cost inflation, mainly from Nordic pulpwood costs, was more than compensated with improved pricing. However, the volume growth in North America was also offset with decline in Europe, and volume was weighing negatively year-over-year. Despite significant inflationary pressure on our fixed costs, not least through the salary increases, we are maintaining strong cost discipline, and we were able to limit the cost inflation year over year. The negative amount in other is almost entirely related to negative year over year effect from inventory revaluation. We had no major impact now in quarter two, but we had sizable positive impact last year. Now, our quarter two was maintenance heavy, with three mills in Europe having a maintenance shutdown, and those were executed as planned and also on budget. Excluding the heavy maintenance cost, our performance for the group in terms of EBITDA margin was in line with quarter one despite lower volumes. And now let's move over to the regions. Next slide, please. Performance in region Europe weakened during the quarter, and we did end up with sequentially lower sales volumes for the region across most categories. The earlier announced price increases for containerboard and sack kraft paper were partly implemented, with clearly better implementation rate within sack kraft, while containerboard has been more challenging. Into the third quarter, we will have somewhat lighter maintenance schedule with cost impact of around 280 million. And now let's move over to region North America. Next slide, please. The reported sales for the region declined by 5%, but clearly heavily impacted by weakening of US dollar. Currency neutral sales were actually up by 5%. The EBITDA margin, as I said, improved with 4 percentage points versus a year ago and was also up percentage points sequentially versus the first quarter, and it's now been a sixth consecutive quarter with positive margin trend, which has been driven by volume recovery and continued stable cost and pricing situation in the region. The sequential improvement from the first quarter was primarily driven by price increases for graphic paper. Operating rates for the region continued to increase to 76% in the second quarter, and we are now actually coming to the levels we haven't seen since beginning of 2023, which is very encouraging. Now, heading into the third quarter, we will carry out maintenance shutdown at Escanaba Mill, and we will have additional maintenance, partly in preparation for the Evolution program. So we expect sequentially higher maintenance costs of 160 million for the region. Next slide, please. And I would like to spend a couple of minutes on the input costs. Now, in terms of the input costs for the regions, we are now in a much more stable situation also in Europe. The cost development during the second quarter was fully in line with our expectations, and we had a net cost relief of approximately 40 million, primarily from electricity prices in Europe. Heading into the third quarter, we expect continued stable cost situation for both of our regions. And on the Nordic pulpwood, we now see a trend shift. The pulpwood prices are coming down. We decreased our price list during the quarter and have seen further downward adjustments by other wood purchases. We see good availability that will continue into the third quarter, and expect also that the downward pressure on the pulpwood prices will intensify. With that said, the cost impact for Billerud in the third quarter will be limited, and that is due to our sourcing mix during the summer, where many of the sawmills are closed, but we certainly expect the cost to come down further into the year. Next slide, please. Now, with the newly introduced financial targets, we are emphasizing cash generation as one of our key priorities. And I'm particularly pleased with the cash conversion of 131% for the second quarter. Our cash flow from operating activities more than doubled compared to the first half of last year. And we are making a good progress on reaching the cash conversion of above 80% for the full year. The strong cash generation is certainly supporting our strong balance sheet. And even after dividend payout during the quarter, we maintain our leverage in line with the first quarter at around 1x EBITDA. In terms of the CapEx for the rest of the year, we now estimate a total CapEx of 3.1 billion for 25, which is 400 million lower versus our previous outlook. And that is primarily driven by slower investment pace for our Evolution program in North America. And we now expect that that amount will be pushed into 2026. With that, I would like to hand it back to you, Ivar.
Thank you, André. Now, an essential part of our strategic framework, the way forward, is to focus on items we can control and avoid being distracted from mixed factors that we literally can do nothing about. And challenging conditions mean we truly need to be at our best to further improve our competitiveness and outperform our peer group. We have successfully been disciplined on fixed cost spending and need to be even more aggressive and creative in finding new additional saving opportunities throughout our cost base. As you just heard from André, protecting our cash flow is of utmost importance, and we certainly aim to continue the strong start of the year and land the year with 80% plus conversion. Another priority is to carefully drive our most profitable and most structurally attractive mix opportunity with focus. And lastly, improving our mill efficiency across and secure supply chain reliability and predictability towards a large and diverse customer base. These points have been our priorities for some time, and they will continue to be so. So next slide, please. So to round it up and going into Q3, we do expect continued solid conditions for region North America. In region Europe, there are some variations across channels and categories, but overall, we would expect the market to stay weak, and input costs should stay quite flat across the regions. So with that, I hand it back to operator for Q&A.
Thank you. To ask a question, you will need to press star one and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. To withdraw your question, please press star one and one again. We will now take the first question. And your first question comes from the line of James Perry from Citi. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for the presentation. Just a couple. I'd first like to ask about the wood costs. You mentioned that you've seen the first price reduction in the Nordic wood prices. Are you able to share what kind of magnitude of price decreases you're seeing and whether you think it's just temporary relief or negative momentum from here? And secondly, on North America, you said about the positive sales volumes and the higher interest in domestically produced products. I know it's difficult to determine, but do you have any sense as to whether customers are looking for a temporary workaround or have they been interested in long-term contracts? Thanks.
Hi, good morning, James. I will start by commenting on the wood cost. So, as I mentioned, we have seen a good availability in the beginning of 2025, and that situation has continued also in the second quarter and will continue in the third. We have seen prices in Baltics and also in Norway coming down. We decreased our price list with 5% to 10%. From the list prices and seen additional price reductions since then. As I mentioned, the quarter three, we have a bit different sourcing mix, but if we would look at the impact beyond that, at this point, and with the price list changes we have seen, we would estimate a positive cost impact of 40 million to 50 million, but again, not much of that in quarter three.
So, hi, James. I can take the second question about the North America. I think it's difficult to get customers to sign in blood that this is long-term, but I can say that that process of going through the qualification and changing a supplier is, to a certain extent, a bit painful. There are some efforts being required on both sides, and you can certainly say that once you come to the step that you have been finding a way in, that is expectation. It will remain and it stays, so hence a much more long-term. So we are clearly very much under the view that once we start opening the doors and can illustrate a good product performance, that is the start of the journey, and we expect just this now to snowball further into bigger figures going into 2026.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Lars Kjellberg from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. Just a follow-up on the pulpwood one. You mentioned Baltics and Norway prices have declined, and then you talked to list prices, which I suppose refer to Sweden. That's not the same as prices are coming down just because you call list prices down. So the question is, are you having any success in lowering those list prices, i.e., wood flowing in at lower prices also in Sweden? And then I just wanted to get some color on Asia. You mentioned liquid paperboard markets being particularly challenging and competitive, and we can kind of see from your liquid paperboard sales that they're down quite a bit. Are you seeing then local competition, particularly in those Asian markets, in liquid paperboard, which used to be sort of a, broadly speaking, an oligopoly between three producers? And if that is indeed the case, are they breaking into other markets? You mentioned some volumes generally, I suppose, from China coming into the U.S., but it would be interesting to hear some color on that specific market. And then finally, in North America, you speak to a solid performance. But then again, if we actually take away the benefit of, you know, the maintenance activity, the schedule change, you're actually down in North America. So what explains that sort of, call it $50 million drop year-on-year in underlying performance adjusted for maintenance? That's my questions.
Good morning, Lars. I will start by providing additional comments on the pulpwood. So when we look at the price list in the Nordics, in Sweden, again, those are underpinned by good availability and the moves we see on the price list. And we certainly expect that we will be able to purchase wood going forward on the newly announced price list.
Yeah, I can. Morning, Lars. I'll jump into the second. I think it's a fair question, and let me just try to give some color on what we see on the liquid packaging these days, because it is a bit of a mixed picture. We are seeing that the market is more or less flat, and that is more on the kind of global basis, you know, around 0%-1%. But there are some pretty hefty regional differences. China now is in decline, while we see more growth in India, other items in Southeast Asia, North America, and Europe is also quite flat. And our business then, in terms of the supplies into Europe, are performing well and more under stable conditions. So it is so that, you know, that much more challenging Chinese market and consumption being much more muted, that hits us as well, as that is a big market for us to deliver into. And hence that Asia not growing and in decline, that, you know, is certainly an effect we feel. It is also so that some of our customer base in some of the key markets in Asia are losing share, and that also, of course, impacts us based on our exposure to a certain customer base. But I can confirm to your question that, yeah, we are meeting some competition from local players in China in particular, and they've been able to gain some meaningful share over the last time. Yeah, if you take it off, Andrei.
Lars, getting back to the performance in North America, they have, of course, been heavily impacted, or the results in the Swedish krona has been heavily impacted by the change in FX. So that's shaving off approximately 1 percentage point in EBITDA year-over-year.
Gotcha. If I can just have a follow-up or another question. Kraft paper seems to be comparatively stable and reasonable in Europe. Can you share any color on how that market has progressed? You call that better pricing realization in the market, which would suggest less of an issue with, I guess, excess supply and less demand weakness, but some incremental color on that would be helpful.
Yeah, no, I can take that one. Yeah, I mean, there is no doubt that, you know, the excess supply is certainly most notable within board, particularly within paper board. I think from what we see on our side is, yeah, a bit more balanced market, but the underlying consumption is still weak, and it worsened a bit during the quarter. Yeah, customers holding a bit back on some orders, and it has just been a sentiment that we just felt more on the demand side. But yes, it is in a relatively better shape versus what we see on the board side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Robin Santavirta from DNB Carnegie. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. First question is related to the demand in Europe. Looking at your delivery volumes down 6% year-on-year, and I think you provided three reasons for that. But I was also wondering whether there's potentially some destocking among your clients, given this uncertainty that we have after Liberation Day, or is this underlying demand, this -6%?
Yeah. Hey, good morning, Robin. No, I think it's always difficult to pin it down exactly what drives what. But yes, I think there is a part of that, maybe towards the end of the quarter, where in particular, a lot of our customer base as well look to protect, you know, their cash generation since market is tough. And yeah, I mean, I think if you also look at some, you know, the historical behavior we'll meet when pulp pricing tend to fall as it has during the quarter, I'm sure also there are certain customer behavior that would expect, you know, material packaging pricing to follow and again, hold a little bit back. So there's a part of it for sure, especially towards the end of the quarter, difficult to pinpoint exactly how big that impact is.
Thanks. Second question I have is related to the pulpwood pricing. Could you just provide a bit more detail about, like, per cube where we stand at the moment? Is it so that you have got the price by 30 SEK per cube, and then there's some 50 sort of SEK per cube cuts out there right now? And if that would be the case, wouldn't the impact be a bit bigger than 40-50 once that would come through the P&L fully?
Yeah, I can continue, Robin. So we have decreased our price list with 30 SEK per cubic meter on the softwood and 50 actually on the hardwood. And these are also the changes we have seen, you know, happened since then. In terms of the impact for you know, remainder of the year, it depends on you know, which price list you purchase on, in which regions, to which mills. But currently, our assessment is that will be in that region.
Can I just ask, what is the P&L lag from sort of you buying this wood at lower price? Is it 3 months or?
It's usually 2-3 months, approximately.
Thanks. A final question, just a quick one on capital allocation. The balance sheet is still quite strong. I understand it's tough out there, particularly Europe. What about potential share buybacks? Is that something that now the stock is close to, what is it, a five-year low? Is that something that you could take a look at this autumn?
Yeah, no, it's a fair question. I can just say that there's no discussions happening, you know, with the board on this, but it's obviously not the, yeah, a normal discussion that will surface during second half of the year. And of course, we will come back if there are any news or any intervention we would decide or the board would decide. But for now, there's nothing. It's full focus on our side to continue our, you know, improvement of the items that we can control.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Linus Larsson from SEB. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and a very good morning to everyone. A couple of questions on Europe, if I may, starting with volumes. Shipments in the second quarter were on their lowest levels that we've seen for many years, actually, and I think they were even somewhat lower than you had expected yourself. So is your message now that you're expecting the same level of shipments from Region Europe in the third quarter? And also in relation to that, how are you looking at this in terms of potential restructuring when you look at your current footprint? Are there certain measures that you are evaluating?
Good morning, Linus. So in terms of volumes, and getting a bit back to, you know, what Ivar talked about, there are two things. The first of all, you know, the underlying demand is not where we would expect it to be long term. And we also have the oversupply partly due to, you know, capacity increases in the region, but also change to the trade flows. With those two things out there, we do expect, you know, the situation for quarter three to remain weak. But it is also with very high uncertainty around, you know, what things are gonna change in quarter three. And hence, at this point, it is just difficult to predict volumes for the third quarter. Our order books are weaker now versus where they have been, you know, when we went out for the first quarter, but difficult to predict and provide any more specifics on volumes for the third quarter at this point.
Hi, morning, Linus. I'm just jumping into your second point, which, I mean, we do have a profitability target of 15% EBITDA, you know, with clear regional targets, broken down that we shared in the CMD. We are certainly far away from that, and the gap is in Europe. And, as I mentioned in my part earlier, we will need to be aggressive and creative on the full cost base and continue to challenge that. That might mean that there are additional structural savings that are coming, and if so, we will come back to that topic later in the year.
Cool. Thanks. That's super helpful. And then staying on Europe, just on price, ASP came down quite a bit year-on-year in the quarter. And if you could just help us dissect that, please, into what was currency, what was mix, what was actually price, and also what your expectations are for price in Europe, and mix in the third compared to the second quarter.
Yeah, Linus, I can start with the second part of the question. We don't, again, based on what I mentioned in terms of volumes, we don't expect any major shifts in the mix heading into the third quarter. Just in terms of the pricing, also looking forward, I mean, we are meeting a weaker market now. Our starting point is to defend our pricing positions, also on the back of, you know, stability in our input costs. But we need to acknowledge the weakness, and we certainly expect some pricing pressure to come through during the third quarter. First and foremost, I think within containerboard and cartonboard, but we will, of course, defend our positions. If we look at development in Europe, year-over-year, there has also been a hefty currency impact. And if we look at the currency neutral sales for region Europe, they were down 4% versus last year, and the majority of it was actually driven by mix due to the weaker volumes we had this quarter.
Great. That's also very helpful. May I just add one final question? You wrote about this negative inventory revaluation. Could you just please clarify that? Did you have, how did you, and if so, how much was the negative inventory revaluation in the second quarter? What was it in the first quarter? And if you at all have any anticipation for the third quarter, that would be of interest as well.
Yeah, for the second quarter, we had a negative revaluation impact of approximately 15 million. So really no drama, and where we would, you know, expect it normally to fluctuate. But looking at the second quarter last year, we had quite sizable positive impact of approximately 80 million. So hence, year-over-year, quite significant deviation. Heading forward now, we don't expect any major movements there, again, based on the stability in the input costs.
Okay. That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Cole Hathorn from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Morning. Thanks for taking my question. I'd just like a follow-up firstly on Europe. I mean, when I go back to the Q1 report, you talked about decent order books, and I know the market changed, but I'm just wondering, was the deterioration really in June that you saw the impact and kind of pullback in volumes? And was the volume pullback compounded by the operating deleverage that you saw? I mean, is this really an operating deleverage across your asset base effect rather than anything else? And how can you improve the operating rates of your mills in Europe? Does it mean that you take some longer economic downtime and ways to save costs, or does it require more of a permanent solution to remove capacity? Thank you.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning, Cole. I can take that one. No, again, I can confirm that the situation got gradually worsened during the quarter. And yeah, it is so that when we started the quarter, our order books at that time looked a bit more decent. And as also Andrei said, now they are weaker than we now are in the beginning of July. I think it's, again, difficult exactly pinpoint what impact carrying its weight. But there's just no doubt that consumer demand has been delayed in terms of getting to recovery. And that is spreading gradually also to a customer base being worried about what underlying strength is and protecting their own cash generation and certainly the tariffs and the relocation of some of the volume back to Europe has just not helped. But it was a gradual impact that intensified towards the end of the quarter, no doubt. Yeah, I think in terms of operating rates, yeah, there is little doubt that we need to manage this almost on a weekly basis. It's one of the core questions that the region wrestle with. And we have some leeway to either take downtime some days or slow steam. But surely now we run quite a bit lower than our normal capacity is, and certainly also quite a bit lower than we would run full out. So yeah, it's the same for the whole sector. We're doing what we can, and we've been quite successful so far of maneuvering this and protecting our cash flow, as you saw earlier in the deck.
And then maybe if I just follow up on North America, which is a more positive story. But when I think about that North America division into the second part of the year, can you give any commentary on how you're benefiting from kind of the import tariffs supporting specialty and graphic paper? Are you comfortable that you're going to continue to be at a decent operating level there? And then secondly, I know pulp prices are lower, but given potential tariffs on Brazil, how would your business perform? Would you be a net beneficiary from pulp sales domestically in the U.S.? Thank you.
Yeah. Why don't I start? And Andrei, you can jump in if you have anything. But yeah, what to say in the second half, I mean, comfortable and comfortable. I think we are in a very good place. And I think we've proven this now continuously over years that we are well placed and we have a very strong starting point where we can be the local player who offers speed and reliability and predictability. That has worked super, and we expect that still to continue. I mean, as an example, the order books are much stronger as a relative comparison in North America when we go into Q3. Sure, there are topics, and let's say that the phone is ringing quite more frequently now in the light of the uncertainty we are facing on tariffs. We are certainly also calling a lot of our potential new customers to remind them of where we stand, and we are ready to deliver. And surely that has helped us, but it's not been a tsunami, but it's been a good testament of the growth we've seen. If some of these tariffs will become permanent at a high level, I mean, that's surely going to be a benefit. But it's speculation, as you know, at this time, since this situation with the trade agreement can change extremely fast. But overall, we are in a very good place and super impressed of what the North American team are able to produce quarter after quarter. Yeah, on pulp, it's interesting, as you mentioned. I mean, we are a bit long on pulp in North America on the hardwood maple pulp, about 200,000 or some 200,000-ish. We'll see. I mean, there's no doubt that a big chunk of the tissue production capacity in North America is supplied from Brazil. With that tariff now on the table, will remain or stay? I mean, clearly, that would benefit the remaining players of locally produced North American pulp, where we are one of them. But again, it's too early to say anything. It can be an agreement or that is removed tomorrow or next week, as we've seen. But surely, if it stays on long-term, this should help us for sure.
And then maybe just a clarification. You called out the particular oversupply in paperboard, but were you referring more to kind of the folding carton, the boxboard side, rather than the containerboard, or just a little bit of specifics around which was the relatively weaker and more impacted by the oversupply? Thank you.
Yeah, I think we talk about cartonboard and liner, first and foremost. I think fluting for us, or at least our Nordic fluting, is a bit more protected. As you know, it runs on separate machines. So yeah, liner in particular, coated uncoated, and carton is the bigger one referred to.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one and one on your telephone keypad. That is star one and one to ask a question. We will now go to the next question. And your next question comes from the line of Martin Melbye from ABG Sundal Collier. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. You had a couple of comments there on price quarter to quarter for Q3. Are you basically saying flat or down with pulp?
Yeah, I can repeat that, Martin, and good morning. So again, given the situation where we are, we do expect weaker market conditions to persist for the European side into the third quarter. Again, our starting point is that we will defend our pricing positions, but we do expect some pricing pressure. So any other guidance than that, I wouldn't be able to provide at this point. For North America, we expect stable prices for our paper grades. Now, the pulp prices have come down. We expect roughly 5% lower pulp prices for the North American region, which is a half percentage point for the whole region then.
Thank you. And on the maintenance cost, you have some different numbers in the presentation compared to the report. So if I get this right, you say 440 in the presentation, but like 380 in the report. And what is the difference?
So the difference is that when we call out in our report is the planned maintenance shutdowns, where we close essentially our recovery boilers and stop all of the productions. But in the preparation for the Evolution program in North America, we will take some additional maintenance that is not CapEx, but it is maintenance, and that will add some additional costs into the third quarter for North America.
I see. And last question, under financial items, is minus 111 clean, or is that FX loss including?
Now, that is impacted by the changes in the FX rate, so that includes revaluation of our cash balances in foreign currencies. The underlying interest costs are around 60 million, so the remainder is FX primarily.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Oskar Lindström from Danske Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, three questions from my side. First two on volume curtailments. How are you distributing the production curtailments between mills? Are certain of your mills in Europe more severely impacted by production curtailments? Are there perhaps even entire machines which are being taken offline? Yeah, that's the first question.
Could you just, hi, good morning, Oscar. If you just give all of the three, and then we'll start from the top.
Okay. Yeah. So the first question is how you're distributing these production curtailments between mills and if there's entire machines which are being taken offline, or if it's really just sort of day by day. The second question is, are other producers in Europe, in your different niches, also taking production curtailments? What's your impression here? And then the third question, you mentioned that there was a delay in CapEx in North America for the reason for taking down your full year CapEx guidance. What's the reason for the delay? Is it by choice or is there another reason?
So, Oscar, good morning. I can start with the first two, and I'm sure Andrei will jump in the third. I think when we have this situation where we start to see softer demand and we need to, I call it, wrestle through it, it's one of the key points we have in our sales and operational planning. And you know, it's a bit of a chessboard that moves quite a lot. There are no machines that are fully down, that I can say. And you know, we have had slow steam or you know, you can call it some downtime or curtailment more on the board side during Q2 versus what we saw on the paper side. I mean, the paper in general have performed a bit stronger through the quarter. And I mean, merging that into your question number two, I can, with quite high likelihood, confirm that I think this curtailment on production is the theme of Q2 for, you know, pretty much everyone in the industry. And yeah, I expect a lot of the same companies in this sector to report, you know, how they've been able and needed to take downtime and slow steaming to maneuver through what we currently see.
Yeah, and I can take the question on the CapEx, Oscar. So the 400 million that we push into 2026 from 2025, that is primarily the evolution project in North America, and it is, you know, just more detailed planning of when we will carry out the investments. As you know, we don't have any maintenance shutdown in Quinnesec Mill, so we want to time that into the maintenance shutdown, but also make, you know, more investments during the next maintenance shutdown in Escanaba. So that's a deliberate choice to adapt it better to the planned production there.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are currently no further questions. I will hand the call back to you.
Okay, so with no further questions, we have come to an end of this conference. Welcome back, when we report our third quarter, that is on the 23rd of October. Thank you for participating, and bye-bye.